Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
Oh, man. Wow. Hey. Hey. How's it going, everybody online? Hopefully you guys had a great day. We have a few volunteers in here this evening, but I'm not sure if I'm ever going to get used to speaking to just everybody online and having nobody here. I definitely need the warmth of people to make me feel better. But nevertheless, we're going to do this. I can't take J2 seriously all the time because he's a Lakers fan. And we have a text thread going, myself and a few of the Lakers fans that I know. And I just like to talk trash to them, let them know that they're probably the third or fourth best team in the league. So that's just my personality. I love to do that. Jeff, I know you're a Laker fan too. I apologize. Hopefully, take no offense by that. But want to welcome everybody. I am going to try to slow down this evening because the topic of what we're going to talk about, as you can probably see from the screen or somewhere there, is that present in his presence. We're going to discuss the idea of being present, not just physically, but mentally, emotionally, spiritually, being present in each and every moment of our lives. But before I start, just saying hello to everybody out there, whether you're in Bakersfield, California, or you're in Washington, or Oregon, or on the East Coast, or Canada, or Alaska, or wherever it is that you're watching from. Again, you're always just an extension of this family. I love VBF so much. We are truly ride or die. But we're going to talk about being present. And I think that it's something that all of us can relate to on one level or another. Some of us struggle with being present mentally. Some of us struggle whether it's at work. Some of us go to work and we really don't love our jobs and we're there. We punch in the clock, but we're not really there mentally. And I think what follows from that is if we're not there mentally and if our heart isn't there, our bodies are there, but if our heart and our mind and our soul aren't in that place, then in our work, it'll show that. Some of us, we have a hard time. Those of us that work long jobs, we work long hours, we come home, and what do we want to do as soon as we come home? We want to veg out. We want to get straight into our phones, or maybe it's straight to bed. One or the other, whenever we get home, we have a hard time when we get there being actually present with our families, with our kids, with our spouses. And it isn't so much that we don't love them, but it's the fact of the matter that our minds are so just entrenched in what we got going on or what has happened, what could happen, what's happening in the world around us, that we struggle being present in our homes. Some of us, even right now, as you're watching at home, some of you might be doing the dishes. Some of you might be trying to multitask while having this message play. And I definitely don't want to downplay the idea of multitasking because some of you out there are better at that than myself. But the fact of the matter is, if we really take a step back and we're honest with ourselves, when we come to church, or even if we're watching church in our home, we're present in physical form, but are we present mentally, emotionally, and spiritually as well? We're going to discuss the importance of being present, because I think if we take it down to its bare bones, what being present means, not just in physical form, but in every form of ourselves, it means that that is the thing that we care about. Being present. You think about having conversations, which we'll discuss later on, when you're in a conversation, being present in that conversation is giving that person the respect, letting them know that they are what's important to you. And in that moment, when we're here at church or we're watching again at home, we're watching church, being present, not just physically, but mentally and emotionally, we are then telling God by our actions that you are the most important thing right now. You know I love definitions, and we're going to hit one right off the bat again. The definition of presence, so we're all on the same page, is this: being, existing, or occurring at this time, or now, it's current. Present is here. I love these quotes. It says, at some point, you just have to let go of what you thought should happen and live in what is happening. Living in the moment is being aware of the moment we are in. If our minds are in the past or in the future, we are not truly alive in the present. Another one says this: if you must look back, do so forgivingly. If you must look forward, do so prayerfully. However, the wisest thing you can do is to be present in the present gratefully. And last but not least, the past has no power over the present moment. For some of you out there, that's exactly what you needed to hear. And as Pastor Ron said Sunday, sermon's over. The past has no power over the present. When I was thinking about this message and this idea of being present, it really is something that I want to put into practice in my own life. But I was watching the Bulls documentary on Netflix, just to let you know, J2, you're sitting out there, right? Bulls are the greatest basketball team of all time. Michael Jordan's the GOAT. But as I was watching this documentary, and I think I was in the last episode of it, one of the interviewers was talking about Michael Jordan. He said, what made Michael Jordan so great was not his ability to score or his athleticism. It was his ability to be present in the moment. He said, Michael Jordan never stepped onto that court and thought about the shots that he missed the game before, or when he was about to take a shot, he never had the mindset, what if I fail and miss this shot? He took every moment as it came, and he was present in what was the present time at all times, and that is what gave him that X factor, and it really rang true with me. But I'm going to pray, and we're going to dive into this concept a little deeper this evening. And at the end, we're going to have the worship team come back out here in about 30 minutes. And we're going to take some time being still and being present in the Lord. Amen? Let's pray this. God, you know that this is not a concept. You know me well. This is not a concept that I have down. This is something that you're teaching me, because God, you know me. I'm always thinking about what I have to do later today, tomorrow. You know I can get stuck in these head spaces of worrying about what I've said in the past, how I've offended people in the past, what I've failed at in the past, God. But Lord, I believe truly, as we were going to talk about this evening, that you desire us to live in the present. God, you desire us to live each moment one at a time, and your word speaks to that. So I ask that you'd help me, God. Help me speak clearly. Help me to think with clarity and articulate this message that you've given me for your people this evening. God, I thank you. I don't know why you choose to use me, but I'm grateful that you do, God. You're a good, good, good dad. We love you. I pray that, Holy Spirit, you would go in each home and you would give people the ability to focus and be present in this moment right here. I pray if there's arguments going on between spouses, if kids are being crazy, if these parents that are homeschooling their kids are going crazy, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would bring peace to each home and help us to hear what you want us to hear. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. So I have my two sons, and I know that you think that all I want to do is talk about my sons, but really, it's my personal opinion, my personal belief that God uses my sons to minister to me. They are the biggest tool that God uses to speak to me. And when it comes to this idea of being present, for any of you that have children out there, J2, I know that you could probably relate, especially with Hazel, is this idea, you know, as they're getting a little older, they're getting timeouts more because they're just getting crazy. Sometimes I give them a timeout just because dad needs a timeout. And so what'll happen is so often we'll take them into the bedroom, right? And I'll say, let's sit down. We're going to have this conversation to let you know why you're in trouble. And more often, this probably happens every single time, especially with Parker, and I would say even Graham, trying to sit down and logically explain why they are in trouble and have this conversation with my child or my children, they couldn't be any further away mentally in my house. They're there in bodily form, they're there physically, but as I'm talking, I see my sons do this whole thing right here. And I'll be like, Parker, and I do this right here. Lock eyes with me. And I'll start talking again, and all of a sudden, you'll see his eyes. And he'll be like, boy, repeat what I said. Are you here? Are you present? And I realize that this is something that I do too when I'm in conversation a lot, is I could be having a serious conversation with somebody, but if I have something on my mind, I am there physically, but I am not there mentally. I want to discuss Moses when it comes to this idea of being present, because Moses struggled with this idea of living in the past and worrying about the future and missing what God had for him in the present, right? We find our story in Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 11, and let's read this. It says this, now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why this bush is not burned. This burning bush got Moses' attention. When the Lord, this is a key verse. When the Lord saw that he had turned aside, when the Lord saw that he finally got Moses' attention, then God called out to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses, and he said, here I am. I want to stop here just for a brief second. I know that this is interjecting, so this isn't necessarily truth, but it's when I read this, it's just this idea, right? Because there's so much open space in the Word. We don't know how this, you know, what happened leading up to this moment of the burning bush. But I'd like to think that God had been trying to get a hold of Moses many times. And finally, after not being able to get Moses to pay attention and be present, God's like, I got to do something crazy. I got to light a bush on fire and speak to this man through this bush. And finally, when Moses saw something that he probably had never seen that was so miraculous in his life, it caught his attention. Then when God noticed, like, finally, I caught my son's attention, then God spoke to Moses. In your life, what has God been trying to get your attention over? And to what lengths will he have to go to get your attention? That was convicting to me, even just saying that out of my mouth. Let's continue with the verses, right? I think we're in verse 5. Then he said, do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, and he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings. God knows your sufferings. God knows what you're suffering through. And I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And this is what Moses' response is. In the presence of God, burning bush. To me, if I'm in this moment, I'm not sure if I'm going to act just like Moses. Maybe I do, maybe I don't. But paint this picture here. The first thing he does after God has spoken to him out of this bush, but Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" This question is basically Moses saying, "Do you not understand, God? I remember my past. I'm missing the moment here, God, because all I can think about is that I'm a wanted man. I'm a man on the run. I'm a murderer, a liar. And here I am out in the middle of the wilderness. How can you use me? Who am I?" The first reaction Moses has in the Lord's presence is to immediately go back to the past. What's crazy is we have a hard time being present in God's presence because we're stripped naked there. Everything, when we're truly in God's presence, we come to this realization that God knows everything about us. The good and the bad and the ugly. We see this with Adam and Eve, right? As soon as Adam and Eve ate of the fruit, they realized with knowledge their nakedness, and what they did was when God's presence came into the garden, they hid. We see this again. Peter does this, Luke 5, verses 3 through 8, right? Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. This is speaking of Jesus. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word, I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." When we truly allow ourselves to be in the presence of God, to be present there, not just physically, not just going, "I'm going to say a prayer before I go to bed, say a prayer in the morning, God, because that is my routine, and I think that that routine's good for me." And I would say, yes, if you have a prayer routine, that is great, but how often do those prayer routines become more routine than prayer? How many times does our church routine become more routine than church? But when we are actually present, mind, body, and soul, in the presence of God, we become aware because we become vulnerable of His knowledge of who we are. And for some of us, that scares us because it leaves us naked and bare. For some of us, it's not so much when we're here, you know, when the present presents itself, it isn't so much that we worry about the past like some people do. For some of us, we're really worriers about what the future holds. Moses is on the same page. He's not only just worried about what he's done in the past that's discrediting him and disqualifying him. He's also worried about what the future holds as well. In Exodus 4:1, going on in this conversation with God, "Then Moses answered, 'But behold, they will not believe me or listen to my voice, for they will say, the Lord did not appear to you.'" God has to continue to try to petition Moses to go and do this calling that he has. And Moses starts out with, "Well, what about my past? I'm living in my past." And then Moses goes on to, "Well, what if they don't listen to me? What if they doubt me? What if they say that you didn't appear to me?" And Moses goes from the past straight to the future, and he's constantly missing what's happening right in front of him. Exodus 33, 12 through 13 shows us that Moses still really didn't, he really still had a struggle with living in the present. After God is speaking to Moses again over another situation, Moses said to God, "Look, you tell me, lead this people, but you don't let me know whom you're going to send with me. You tell me I know you well and you're special to me. If I'm so special to you, let me in on your plans. That way I will continue being special to you. Don't forget, this is your people, your responsibility." Moses had this problem, this issue of living in the future as well. Can I tell you this, that God will often guide us where the only thing that we can see is Him. that our only option, the only thing that we can lean on, is Him and His Word. I remember I went to college briefly right out of high school. I, as a procrastinating high school graduate, I didn't know anything about signing up for college, that there was like a rush to get in. So I signed up too late. And there weren't any classes left at BC, so I had to go to Taft College for my first semester. I took a drama class, a geography class, and I think it was something, there was another class in there, but I dropped it, so I guess it doesn't even matter. But I remember there were night classes, and I remember in the fall coming back from Taft, if you've ever driven back from Taft or to Taft at night during fog season, you understand on that two-lane highway, you cannot see anything past the hood of your car. And I remember on those nights, there was a few that were really scary, where it was the first time I appreciated those little reflector things in the middle of the road. Because all I can remember was my eyes were on those little reflector things the entire drive home, and I kept thinking to myself, if there's a car stopped in the road, if there's a person in the road, any kind of animal in the road, I'm done. Because my eyes were glued on those little reflectors in the middle of the road. And oftentimes in our lives, when God is guiding us or leading us somewhere, He makes it in a way to where the only thing that we can see is Him. Still others of us, we don't live in the past so much, right? We don't live in the future so much because our lives are so busy with the now that we have no time to think about the past. We have no time to think about the future because everything that's going on around us in the present is so chaotic, and it does this alternate way to where, yeah, we're living in the present, but I'm living in this dimension of the present, not this present that I'm in right now. I'm in a conversation with you, but I'm thinking about the conversation that's happening over here in my day, or what happened over here, and the bill that came out of nowhere over here, or my kids that I now have to homeschool, and I have to figure out how I have to quit my job and stay home to take care of them. Matthew 6 speaks to this, and I know these verses are things that we've heard before, but again, God's word is so awesome because of the fact that we can read these verses over and over again, and they still affect us. Matthew 6, verse 25 through 34 says this, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body." I'm anxious about my body. I want a six-pack bad. "What you will put on, is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to a span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need all of them. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." I experienced this in my marriage. Guys, I don't know if you can relate with me. And again, I'm going to go to you, J2, and Adrian over here. It's like this idea of when your wife wants to come in and have a conversation, and maybe you literally just got off of a phone call with somebody, or you just got home from work, and you're sitting there, and maybe you had just gotten on your phone, and she started having a conversation with me, and I knew I had done something wrong because stuff had been coming out of my mouth like, yeah, totally. And I had looked her in the eyeballs even a few times, but I knew at the point that I did something wrong when she walked out of the room and said nothing. I was all, wait a minute. That was an important conversation that I needed to be present in. But the fact of the matter is, my mind was so filled with what was happening around me, what we're going through in life, life circumstances. And I don't want to portray a picture that life is all crazy, you know what I mean? But just life in general, when you have kids and you're my age and you're married, it can get a little crazy. But the idea is that I am this person that not only just lives in the past and the future, but I am distracted with what's happening here and now, and it keeps me from being present. And what happens is that happens in my time spent with God as well, that when I'm here at church, I'm thinking about what I'm doing directly afterwards. God wants us to remind him, and here's the basic point of it all. Is that when we come to be in his presence, God wants to remind us that it is not about us. It is, in fact, all about him. When we're in his presence, it's 100% about him. Think about if you have this mindset whenever you go to prayer, whenever you have times of worship, whenever you go to church or you go to a Bible study or you're you know, spending time with God, whatever that looks like for you. Think about if you have this mindset that when I'm here in his presence, it literally is all about him, not about me, what I have going on, what my problems are, what my stresses are. Think about what that does to your prayer life and your time with God moving forward, if we can adopt this mentality. Matthew 6, before he talks about being anxious, Matthew 6, verses 7 through 13, Jesus says this, "And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask. Pray then like this. So, Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." See, being present is our way, is our form. When we're present mentally, spiritually, and physically, it is literally our way, our sacrifice of laying ourselves down. When we come before the Lord and we're truly present in his presence, it's we're laying ourselves down, our desires down, our needs down, our hurts down at the feet of Jesus, and we're putting God in his proper position. Being present is 100% intentional. It isn't something that necessarily comes easy to be able to deny ourselves when we come into the presence of God. It literally takes intention on our part to come and be still. So I want to talk about three things that involve this idea of being present, right? The first one is this: listening. Listening. How many times, or maybe you're like me, and I love the old video, was this idea of this guy going to a modern coffee shop, and he's sitting there, and all of a sudden Jesus comes down and sits next to him in his robes, and the guy busts out this you know, legal pad of paper with all of his requests, and he rattles this off in this caffeinated fashion, and Jesus is there listening intently to everything this man says. And by the time Jesus is going to respond, the man looks at his watch, packs up his legal pad of paper, and says, "Well, Jesus, I gotta get going." And it's this idea that listening is it something that you and I do. Jesus says a lot in when he's giving his parables in the Gospels, "Those who have ears, let them hear." The disciples go and they ask Jesus, "Why do you speak in such parables?" And basically, in layman's term, what Jesus' response is he says, "I want those who are really listening to hear the good truth that I have. Because it's really only for those that have intention of listening. That truth is that's for them." Matthew 17, 1 through 5. And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. This verse paints, and I get it. I don't ever want to look at the characters in the Bible and say, oh, I'm Peter, or I'm David, or I'm Moses. No, that's Peter, that's David, that's Moses, that's Ruth. Those are those people. I'm Shane. But I can relate. I feel like Peter and I would be buddies here because I'd probably do the exact same thing in this moment. So Jesus takes James, John, Peter up on the mountain, and he was transfigured before them. Jesus is transfigured. Put yourself in this place. He was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. Are you picturing yourself on this mountain and this thing happening in front of you? And behold, there appeared to them, funny, Moses, our good buddy Moses, and Elijah talking with Jesus. And Peter decides that this is a good time to open his mouth. And he says to Jesus, Lord, is it good that we're here right now? If you wish, I'll make three tents here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. And then what does it say? Listen. Listen, listen to him. It's this idea that when we get into God's presence, when we're in these moments where God's desirous for us to be present in the moment, right? Peter has this idea of, I'm so uncomfortable because being here right now, I feel like I need to do something for you, God. When we get into the presence of God, sometimes being still in front of him and listening, right? We get this idea that, okay, God, I again, it's this the whole idea of being convicted of our sins. Peter has the same thing where it's like, God, what do I need to do for you? I'm here in your presence. I know I shouldn't just be laying here listening to you. I need to do something for you. And the cloud speaks and says, shh, this is my son. Listen to him. Listen to him. How many of us have a hard time listening? You can always tell in a conversation when you're talking with somebody and they're not really listening to you. They're just waiting for you to stop talking so then they can have their turn to say something and add to the conversation at hand. I fall into that so often. I feel like I need to interject Shane's opinion because Shane's opinion is always right and great in those moments. And just this message itself is convicting me that I don't always have to say anything. Psalms 46:10 says this. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Part of listening that I have trouble with, and maybe you as well, is being still and just knowing that God has everything that I need. When's the last time you were still in God's presence? When was the last time? See, being present gives us the opportunity to know God. And this is what we know about God, is that God is always the same regardless. If you don't know God, let me just tell you what the Word says about God. That God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That regardless of where we are mentally, spiritually, emotionally, or physically, no matter what state we are in, God is the same. And who is God and what is God? God is good. God is always good. God is always merciful. God is always just. God is always compassionate. He's always all-powerful. He's always in control. He's always understanding. And he's always trustworthy. See, a part of being present is listening. And what's crazy is if we can get this concept of being in God's presence and listening instead of immediately coming and speaking, learning to be still in his presence, then what happens is it gives us the ability to receive. This is the second thing I want to talk about. When we are present, it gives us the ability to receive, because when we listen to what God's trying to tell us, what God's trying to speak to us, then we're able to receive. See, oftentimes when we go to prayer, we want to receive something from God. Doesn't necessarily mean it has to be materialistic, right? Doesn't have to be a material thing. But when we go and we come to God in prayer, we're coming to Him in worship, a lot of us, we want to receive something. If it isn't something of material value, it's we want to receive peace. We want to receive joy. We want to receive confirmation or wisdom. But the fact of the matter is that when we come to the Lord in His presence, He already wants to, His posture is already He already wants to give us something. We don't even have to ask for it because He knows what we need before we ask. He wants to give us something. The story of Mary and Martha comes to mind. We were talking about this the other night. I have a young marriage Bible study, and we were discussing this story. You know, we have Martha in the kitchen being busy and Mary at the feet of Jesus. And Martha complains to Jesus and says, "Will you tell my sister to come and help me? Because all she's doing is sitting in your presence." And Jesus says, "She has chosen the good thing." And this is the key phrase: what she has will not be taken away from her. Not only in the story is Mary sitting there in the presence of God, she is receiving something from Jesus in this moment because she's allowed herself to be present, and it will not be taken from her. 1 John 2:27 says this: "As for you, the anointing you received from Him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you." Matthew 10:7-8 says this: "And proclaim as you go, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper, cast out the demons. You received without pain, give without pay." James 1:5 says this: "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him." When we listen to God and we're in His presence and we're still, we're able to receive not just what we wanted to receive from God, but more importantly, what He wanted to give us. So when we come into His presence and we're actually present there, our ability to be still and listen to God gives us the ability to receive what God wants to give you. The third one is this: when we listen, we receive. And when we're able to receive what God gives us, we're able to respond appropriately. Much like when Chris is trying to have a conversation with me and my mind is elsewhere, my response was not appropriate. And oftentimes, unfortunately, and it's my own fault, and I hope to get better at this, my response is never the appropriate one, or at least the one that she wants to hear. See, some of us, we're so lost because our interactions are mostly about us. So we end up not hearing what God wants us to say because we're busy wanting or listening to what we want to hear from God. We don't receive anything because we aren't listening. And so our responses are out of character. Our responses with God are more like, "Where are you? Why is this happening to me? How can this happen? When are you going to come through for this? God, what if this happens?" God's desire for us is to be present in His presence with a posture of humility and intention. I'm going to call the worship team back out here right now. James 4:10 says this: "Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will exalt you." Not only is being present in God's presence where God desires us to be, He desires us to come with humility, not perfection, not having everything, all our T's crossed and our I's dotted. It's to come with humility, because this is what happens when we allow ourselves to be in God's presence. When we truly get good, for lack of a better way of saying this, get good at being present in God's presence, really having that quality time with Jesus, we're made whole. We'll have peace. We'll have joy. It says that all things are made new in His presence. Psalm 16:11 says it well: "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Exodus 33:14 says this in closing, and he said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." See, it is my opinion that it is difficult for us to be still. It is difficult for us in the society that we live in, filled with responsibilities, stresses, worries, COVID, racism, quality, whatever it is hard to stop what's happening around us and be still. But it is my opinion that it isn't so hard necessarily to connect with God. Connecting with God is not the hard. Some of us think like just to be still in God's presence and to connect with Him, that is so hard. It is a hard thing to do. God is not far off. God is not hard to find. God is near. Says He's near to the brokenhearted. He's near to those that are weary. The hard part for us as human beings is to disconnect from the other things that we're connected to. I'll say it again. It is not hard to connect with God. The hard part, or the part that we need God for, is the ability to disconnect from the things of life that we're currently connected to. So my question in leaving is, when is the last time you were still? When is the last time that you shut your phone off? Obviously, you're watching online, so don't shut your TV off right now. But you just shut everything out, and you were present in His presence. Because when we develop that ability, we'll hear what He has to say, we'll receive what He wants to give, and then that response of worship that some of us find so uncomfortable, so hard to do, that response will become natural because we would have spent quality time in God's presence. So hopefully you don't turn off at this point in time, and you continue to worship with us as we have two more worship songs. And I want to encourage you to practice being still, listening, receiving, and responding. God, I thank You. I do. I thank You. You're so good. We're crazy. We're human, right? God, You have to think we're crazy kids. Just like I think my kids are crazy sometimes, but I love them so much, and I know that the love that You have for us far surpasses the love that I have for my kids. And so right now, I ask, Holy Spirit, please give us the ability to be still. To be still. And to be present physically, emotionally, spiritually, body, mind, and soul, God. Just present. May that roll over into our relationships of the world as well, because I believe that quality, good ministry will come out of being more present in those times. I love You, God, and I thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.
Darkness, my God, that is who You are. here, touching every heart, and I worship you. I worship you. You are here, healing every heart. Oh, I worship you. I worship you. You are here, you're turning lives around. I worship you. Yes, I worship you. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working.
Come on, wherever you're at, we're declared tonight.
'Cause even when I don't see it, you're working. And even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. 'Cause even when I don't see it, you're working. And even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop now. 'Cause you are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. My promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. And you are way maker, miracle worker.
Promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Yes, we declare.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King.